Matthew chapter 13 this morning. You have your Bible and want to follow along. Reading just a few verses. Continuing on with following the introduction from last Sunday morning. So if you were not here last Sunday and you want to hear the intro, I think that it's on the website. It's got it uploaded. Not that you want to hear me necessarily, but it's there. Wiseballchurch.com, is that right? Let's bow our hearts and head in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we've sung some good songs this morning that talk to us about your love. We started off by expressing to you that we love you as well. We want to worship you. We want it to be received favorably from our heart to yours. Lord, I pray now that you would open our hearts to your word. I pray that you would anoint the speaker as well as the hearer. Pray for your blessing this morning. I'm unable to effectively communicate your word this morning without your help. Father, would you touch us? It's in Jesus' name I pray, for your glory and for your sake. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying. Remember that I said last Sunday, quoting C.H. Dodd, that at its simplest, the parable is a metaphor or a simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought. We looked at the sower, didn't have a whole lot to say about the sower. Looked at the seed and realized very clearly that the seed is God's word, which means that the seed that he's talking about is good seed. There's nothing wrong with it. It has a high germination rate. If you're a farmer, gardener, you probably look at that to see what the germination rate is. It has a high 100% germination rate. There's nothing wrong with the seed. So as we continue our reading here, we'll see, take a look at one of the soils. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse number 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then if we drop on down to verse number 18, he says that word hear again, speaking about the need to be listening with our ears, being receptive in our heart. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, or comprehendeth it not, or receiveth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Wayside seed. When I was, I think I was 13 years old, my dad stepped out of the ministry for a little while, year or so, and was working on a farm. The farmer that we were working for had just purchased his very first no-till drill. He was a John Deere man. Everything that he had, well, I believe, was John Deere. So this brand new no-till drill was sitting there, and he was interested in it, and he really liked it. And I remember him talking about it as though it was the next thing, the best thing that happened since sliced bread, how he could slice that soil with that cedar, and this stuff would come up. It was a wonderful thing. He was so intrigued by it that he decided to run it down the driveway and see what would happen. Sure enough, that seed germinated in that hardened, packed driveway, and it came up. But because of the wayside condition, where the tracks were of the vehicles, it soon was crushed and was gone. The sower here did not have access to a no-till drill. He was sowing the seed and some fell on the wayside. What is the wayside? It's the pathway. It's the place where people walked. It's the place where they went around their plot. You stop and think about it, how many people step through that archway at the back of the sanctuary every single week. You could very clearly understand that this aisleway is a wayside. A lot of steps, a lot of traffic. There's not too much that's going to grow here in this particular area because there's so much traffic. It's hard packed. So this soil that he's talking about on the wayside was hard-packed. It's a little bit said in the Sunday school lesson this morning about hardened hearts because of unbelief. We could spend a little bit of time transferring that particular part of the lesson over to this part of the message, over to this part of the scripture, to realize that here was some hard-packed soil that the seed could not penetrate. Even though it was good seed. Even though it had 100% germination rate, it did not penetrate the soil of the wayside because it was so hard-packed. It was unbroken soil. It was baked by the sun. It was where people walked back and forth, going to and fro, going here and there. And it was hard soil. I was in a conversation a number of years ago with a couple of men, a couple of young men, and we were all three of us talking about the possibility of joining a softball team, getting involved with a softball league, and how much good it would be. It would be good exercise. Yes, it would. So many different muscles are worked when you're really at it in playing softball, unless you're the bench warmer. It would be good. It would be so much fun. It would be enjoyable. It would be a good way to get to know some people even. Be a wonderful thing in the way of influence. And so we were talking about doing that and getting involved with it. And then as the conversation began to shift in that softball realm, one of them spoke up and began to talk about how if you want to be good, you're going to have to spend time doing it. And that develops within somebody's heart a desire to win. You know, win. They want to win at every single game. And so they put themselves and apply themselves to that task. In order to win, you got to practice, and you got to practice sometimes a lot. And it seems as though softball leagues may show it very clearly that some of these guys spend night after night practicing and playing so that they can be good. One of the guys, I don't remember which one it was, but he spoke up and he said, "It's hard to stay happily married and be in a softball league." Wow. Isn't that interesting that somebody who was wanting to play and be good at it would admit that it's hard to stay happily married? You know, and if mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. Somebody else texted me this week and said, happy wife, happy life. They got the fireplace going. You know, that was a happy thing for them. I made mention of it just a little bit casually as they were mentioning that about it's hard to stay happily married and be on a softball league or in a softball league. I said, it's hard to be a good Christian too. Immediately, they cut me off. They didn't like that thought. They didn't want to hear about that. And that is kind of judgmental, you see. That's going overboard with some things. But when you stop and look at it and realize that it's okay to jokingly say that it's hard to stay married, it's hard to stay married on a softball league, that's a truthful statement, but it's somehow a wrongful statement to judge somebody by saying the same thing as involved with a personal Christian's example or life and how that works and how that it plays out as though it's judgmental or legalistic. There's a lot of reasons and a lot of things that we can talk about this morning as to why it's hard-packed. But we can understand that it's hard-packed because people have walked there and have been consistently moving up and down that pathway, and there's been no effort whatsoever to break that soil, to open it up for the seed to fall. Now, how serious is that? How alarming is that? Dr. McLaren states it this way, and I quote him. He said, every sermon that an ungodly person, an ungodly man hears, or a person hears, which leaves him ungodly, leaves him harder by the passage of the word once more across his heart. We can expound on that just a little bit and acknowledge and realize that it's not just an ungodly person, but it's any one of us who hear the word over and over again and we are not faithful to receive that word, that we can harden our hearts. And as the scripture brought out in Sunday school, that even through unbelief, I don't believe it that way. I don't want it that way. And so the feet of self begin to harden that soil to receive the seed of God's word. Over and over again. Hardened soil, heavily traveled pathway. That's the wayside. You see, that hard-packed soil is not conducive to growing seed into a harvest. Jesus didn't stop there in this parable of talking about the wayside being a place where the seed fell. And we would stop and think and realize that the reason why that it doesn't grow is because it's hard packed. And there's variable reasons why it's hard packed. But Jesus went beyond that to say that it's laying there on the top of the soil. It's hard. There's no receptivity in that soil. It's just laying there on the top, making it very easy for the birds to come and pick it up and devour it. Have you ever planted your garden or planted a field and find out that the animals, the birds, have devoured it before it really got going? Maybe took the seed out of the ground? You know, turkeys. Some people don't like turkeys, and the only thing that turkeys may be good for is for hunting and a little bit of eating. Turkeys seem to have learned, and it seems like it's passed on to every new crop of birds that are hatched out and raised up, that little bitty corn sprout that is sticking above the ground an inch or a two means to that bird that there's a seed at the bottom of the root there that might be good to eat, and so also that little green sprout is good to eat, and they'll eat it up. I had a farmer tell me that a huge flock of turkeys destroyed a large acreage of a cornfield that very way. The birds. Jesus said it's the wicked one. Verse number 19, anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it. And as I went on, it's that comprehension that's receiving it here in this passage. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. The fowls came, verse number 4, the fowls came and devoured. Crows, blackbirds, starlings, they're all notorious for taking the seed. Natalie's not here this morning, but she helped me spread some corn out across the back yard and up over the hill there for the doves to eat. And it's interesting to watch the dove come in and how they can devour that. They prefer it to be cracked corn, but they will devour it as a whole kernel. The crows, the blackbirds, the starlings. Do any of you put out nesting boxes for them? Please don't. They seem to survive well enough on their own. What kind of birds? Can we put some names on those birds that the wicked one sends our way to devour the seed that would come to your soil? It might be some kind of modern day philosophy, humanistic philosophy. Maybe it's based in that same question that the serpent asked Eve so many years ago in the Garden of Eden. Hath God really said? And our culture is saying that silently and even loudly at times today. Hath God really said? Hath God really, really said? There's so much denial of what God's word said. We want to believe in heaven. We want to believe in God's grace. We want to believe in God's love. But then we hold back on the very things that God also states in that same Bible, in that same book, for us to understand and realize that it's more than just his love or his grace. There's a lady that died the other day over in Madison, and I haven't had a chance to ask my wife yet if she knows, or I keep forgetting to ask her if she knows who this lady is, but the statement was made, she has earned her place in heaven. She earned her place in heaven. Nothing at all about the grace of God, nothing at all about salvation. What am I bringing that up for? I'm bringing it up because we live in a culture that is denying. It is denying Calvary and denying the grace of God. And if we are not careful, that hardened heart that is developing within us from the repeated knowledge of His Word and that walking to and fro, we can begin to harden up to where the seed of God is no longer viable in our soul. And it has snatched away by the birds that are flocking around to receive. I need to hurry along. There's all kinds of birds that we can talk about. We can talk about reading material. We can talk about viewing material. We can talk about listening material. There's all sorts of things. And could I even say this morning that it doesn't always mean that what we listen to or what we read or what we watch is necessarily wrongful or spiritually harmful, but it is simply taking away from the time that is needed for that soil to be receptive to the seed. We focus in on so many other things. And yet it's also a vital, real thing for us to consider the reality that what we watch and what we listen to and what we read is very well a part of what Jesus is referring to here. The wicked one sends the bird to snatch it before it can grow. Some people have problems believing because of intellectual skepticism. Some people have difficulties allowing the seed to grow because of evil associations. Sometimes people have a problem with the seed growing because the evil one, the wicked one, sends the birds to snatch it away because of the inconsistencies of other Christian professors. I mention that one because I hope that it rings a bell within us that we will do everything that we can not to be that inconsistent professor of grace. There's all kinds of birds. So many things that can destroy the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life or in our life. Jesus says something here in two of these verses that I read, verse number 9 and verse number 18, that stand out above and beyond the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, the parable of the wayside soil. He said, if a person has ears to hear, let him hear, as though there's something about it on our end that we have to do to be recipients of his seed. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. If I know anything at all about compassion in the heart of a minister, it's only a small fraction compared to that of the heart of Christ. But I think that as I read verse 9 and verse 18, I feel as though there surely must have been a tear in the corner of his eye as he spoke those words. Maybe his heart was flooded with tears. Because it's very real. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in Scripture. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been made it into this parable. There's a reality of the wayside soil, of us being receptive and open to what God tells us. That when He speaks to us, we listen. That's why it's so important. I believe it was just last Sunday that I mentioned about the importance of staying in God's Word, digging into God's Word, learning God's Word. Someone told me yesterday that one of our young mothers is spending Anybody help me here? I didn't give you enough information to help me, did I? Specifically, working at the job. What word do I use to anyway? One of our young mothers is specifically working with her children to learn the Scriptures, to learn the words of the Bible. What is it? What is the purpose in that? Well, the psalmist said it. Wasn't the psalmist that said, if I hide God's word in my heart, it'll keep me, it'll help me from sinning against Him? It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Intentional, that's what I'm talking about. That's the word I want. Intentionally teaching the children. Let me summarize this morning, or let me wrap things up this morning. What can I do if my soil is wayside soil? All of these birds are taking away and keeping the seed from sprouting. There's nothing going to grow in that wayside soil. What can I do? What can I do if my soil is wayside soil? If we go back to Jeremiah, the Old Testament here, chapter number 4, verse number 3, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Break up your fallow ground. Get the plow out. Get the tiller out. What does that mean? How can we apply that in our personal lives, in the soil of our soul? It simply means allow God's word to break up that fallow ground. We can go over to the book of Hosea as well. Chapter number 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You've plowed wickedness, you've reaped iniquity, you've eaten the fruit of lies because thou, and he goes on with that same thought. Break up the fallow ground. Seek the Lord. Is your spiritual life stagnant? Is your spiritual life not going anywhere? It could be because the soil has become hardened because of the repeated walking on it, or it's because the birds are coming and taking the seed away and we can't get anything to grow. Break up the fallow ground. Seek the Lord. I believe that's what he's saying here in this passage. If you have ears, if your heart is listening, receive the seed, receive the truth, and break it up so that it can produce. Let's stand together. If the seed has spoken to you this morning, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you need to break up that fallow ground, if you need to be seeking him, why don't you step out and come to the altar for prayer? We'll join you in prayer, seeking him, letting him break up that fallow ground. Sometimes I say that maybe you want to go home and do it, and you might want to get out and do it later. Be careful that the birds don't take it away. If you need to seek him now, come seek him now. We'll be happy to pray with you. Break up the fallow ground. Let the seed of his that he sows from his word, the truth, find good lodging in the broken soil of the soul. Don't forget our services this evening. Forget ladies' ensemble practicing after church this morning. Trust the Lord will bless each one of you on this Lord's Day. See you back tonight. Praise God. Gabe, would you dismiss us in prayer?